chapter 10. If you are visiting with us, I preach through the Bible, usually a book of the Bible. We've been preaching through Daniel for a few months now, and we have arrived at chapter 10. Follow along in your Bibles as I read chapter 10 of the book of Daniel. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar, and the message was true and one of great conflict. But he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. On the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Upaz. His body also was like beryl. His face had the appearance of his lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words. As soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. And when he heard, and when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. He said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, May the Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince. May the Lord God add his blessing to the reading of his word. This is supposedly true. I don't know how to verify it, but I am told that it is true. There was supposedly a Welsh woman who lived in a remote valley in Wales, and she went to a great deal of trouble and expense to have electrical power installed in her home. However, after a couple of months, the electric company noticed she didn't seem to use very much electricity at all. Thinking there might be a problem with the hookup, they sent a meter reader to check the matter out. The man came to the door and said, We've just checked your meter and it doesn't seem that you're using very much electricity. Is there a problem? Oh no, she said. We are quite satisfied. We turn on the electric lights every night to see how to light our lamps and then we switch them off again. Now that lady is intended to illustrate a person who was willing to have a lot of expense because she understood the value of electricity and she paid to have it come to her home, yet for some reason she was not using it to its greatest advantage. She was using it very sparingly. And I use her as an illustration of us who are Christians, who God has said, I've gone to great expense and have extended to you this power called prayer, where you can now talk directly to God Himself with no mediator, and anything you want to say to me, I will hear. And I will work on it for your advantage. Now that's great power. It's sort of like saying, I have the ear of God, and He takes what I say seriously, and He considers everything for my advantage and for my benefit. And yet we don't use it that much. It's like this little old lady. We turn it on to light the lamps and then turn it off. And we illustrate that because God has empowered you with this power. If you are a believer, God hears everything you say. And yet when we look around, we don't seem to be praying that much. I mean, I'm not saying we're against prayer. I'm just saying we don't really wrestle with, as I read some biographies of men of the faith, who have wrestled with God in prayer and have interceded for what we would call miracles, how George Mueller would pray a prayer of thanks for food that was not on the table, knowing that, you know, God did not want him to go hungry, and before he could say amen, someone was knocking on the door providing food for Mueller and his orphans who was he was responsible to feed and take care of. He believed in the power of prayer. Daniel is such a man from the Old Testament. We know from studying the book so far that Daniel prayed 3 times a day and he didn't make it a secret. He prayed with an open window so the community could see Daniel at prayer. And when Daniel was in trouble, he prayed in the lion's den. And we know from studying the book that he prayed for wisdom, he prayed for guidance. He prayed for his people Israel, and he prayed for them to repent, and he repented with them because he loved his people Israel. Now, you have to understand, if you haven't been following along with us in this study, we opened up chapter 9 last week, and we looked at it actually in two Sundays, and God gave to him this marvelous prediction of 70 weeks that are determined and decreed for his people Israel. And we looked at that very specifically, and while he was doing that, he was praying with an open Bible, and he saw where God had promised Jeremiah that after 70 years, his people would be released from captivity and could go home. And so he was excited about that. He was praying. Now that, you know, in and of itself, as we pointed out, was a marvelous vision that he had, and people are debating it still today as to the interpretation and the meaning. But Daniel had received this. Now, 2 years after he has received this vision in chapter 9, chapter 10 is what occurs. So you have to understand, 2 whole years has elapsed in his life since God gave to them the vision of the 70 weeks, as we call it, the 70 weeks of Daniel, and 2 years. And now after 2 years, he's praying. And he's praying, Lord, I need more insight, I need more explanation, I need more understanding about this vision that you gave to me. And he already had given him a little bit of explanation, but like a lot of us, even when it is explained, some of it is still difficult to grasp. And so we see then, 2 years has elapsed, and so God has dispatched, or actually technically what we would call that he dispatched immediately. The first time Daniel prayed and said, I need some more insight to this vision in chapter 9, God dispatched an answer, and the answer for him was, in a sense, like we would have liked to receive, was of what we would call, although it was delivered by a spiritual messenger, it was going to be a face-to-face conversation or explanation. He dispatched an angel to go tell him what the meaning was, or give him more insight into chapter 9's vision. Now, the issue is that we're looking at is that 21 days have elapsed since God dispatched this angel with the explanation, because we need to understand as Christians, there is a spiritual war going on. It was going on in Daniel's day. It was going on in the Old Testament. It was going on in Jesus' day. It was going on in the Apostle Paul's day. And it's going on today. There is a war, a spiritual war, raging right now as I am speaking to you. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, which, by the way, are fallen angels, demons, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We're not studying technically demons right now, but I want to tell you that there are demons. When Satan rebelled in heaven, and you can study that in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, you can study it in Isaiah 14, that there was a war going on. And Satan rebelled because he thought he could do a better job of being God than God could. And he wanted to be God. And he had a lot of spiritual power because God, when he created him, gave him a tremendous amount of power. And so he thought, I'm going to replace God. And in so doing, he rebelled and he was cast out of heaven. And of course, people here on earth, we oftentimes don't get to see this warfare going on. We don't get to see this battle. Some of us, you know, you see correspondents go over to Afghanistan, they go over to Iraq, they go over to Syria, they see men shooting with one another, they see bombs falling from the air. That's a physical war which we can relate to. And we see that it's going on. There is a spiritual war going on, which we cannot see because we don't have the eyesight, we don't have the open window to the spiritual realm in our physical bodies, unless God would bless us and touch us and open our eyes that we might see. Remember in the Old Testament, Elisha was there, and he was surrounded by enemies on all their chariots, and Gehazi was his servant, and he looked out there and he saw these physical soldiers in real chariots ready to come and get Elisha, as it were, and to kill him. And Gehazi thought, me too, because I'm working with Elisha. And he was really scared. I mean, he was the most scared that he has ever been in his life. He thought, this is it. We are toast, as it were. We're going to be killed. And Elisha came over and sort of just patted him on the shoulder and said, what's the matter? Why are you so upset? And he says, man, look out the window. We're surrounded. We're going to be killed. As soon as they come in and invade, we're history. And Elisha says, oh. And he obviously was blessed because he got to see all of the protection that God had dispatched to protect Elisha. And so Elisha says, oh, don't worry. The guys who are with us are more than them who are out there, and they're more powerful than them who are out there. And then Elisha says, oh, Lord, just to paraphrase it, do me a favor and open Gehazi's eyes so he can see those spiritual defenders that you have sent to protect us. And his eyes were opened, and he saw all these, as we would call it, angelic soldiers who had been dispatched to protect Elisha and Gehazi. And of course, and you can read on and see what happens with him, which is another story. But we're here to tell you that there is a war still going on in the spiritual realm. And it continues to this very day. There is a spiritual war raging. And sometimes we think, boy, it would be interesting to look at it. And then I kind of wonder, I don't know if I really would want to step in and be actually see what is happening there in this warfare. It might be overwhelming. You know, we talk about soldiers who have post-traumatic stress syndrome, which is very real, because they actually witnessed horrible things in combat, in battle. And you have to understand, when you see something horrendous like that, it is in your mind forever. You don't walk out the door and say, oh, I'm going to forget that. You cannot forget it. And so I want to be able, when the Lord raptures us up in beauty, I want to be able to see the heavenlies and Jesus on his throne. I don't really want to be witnessing all the combat that's going on down here. And as the scriptures tell us, there's going to be a lot going on down here. Now, he says here in verse 5 of Daniel 10 that there is a certain man that has been dispatched to explain this. Now, some people think that this is what we would call a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus before he was born in Bethlehem. And he operated here, obviously, throughout the Old Testament. So some are saying this is Jesus before Bethlehem. No, it is not, but people believe that. Because first of all, it says, I have been sent to you. Now, I'm not saying the Father wouldn't send Jesus to Daniel, but that's probably unlikely, especially in the Old Testament. He talks about that he has been delayed 21 days by what we would call the demonic forces, this spiritual battle that I'm telling you about. And so whoever these, the power of these evil enemies of God, the prince of Persia, as it were, tells us that he's powerful. Today, if we went to Iran, guess what? This guy's still in operation today. This prince of Persia is still there. He hasn't retired. And he's still as powerful as he was in Daniel's day when he was fighting this emissary that God had dispatched to tell Daniel the answer. He's still working. He hasn't retired. Hey, because he's a spiritual being. He lives forever. And he doesn't get old like us. And he's still in operation today. So this is relevant for today. This guy is still in operation. And he still is powerful. And he's controlling the leaders in Iran because that's what he does. And we have to understand that. This certain man, this has been dispatched, is not Jesus before Bethlehem. And you'll notice in verse 13 it says that he needed the assistance of Michael the archangel to overcome him so he could do his job. Let me tell you, Jesus does not need the assistance of the archangel Michael to accomplish anything, whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, especially in his spiritual body before he took human flesh upon himself. He's Almighty God, believe me. If this were Jesus, as it says in the book of Jude, you know, he just says, hey, I'm not going to rebuke you. I'm going to call on Jesus to do it. So Jesus is more powerful. So this emissary is not Jesus. It's a powerful angel, but obviously in the demonic realm, there is combat going on. And some demons are certainly more powerful than other demons. There is a hierarchy going on, like in the army, and some outrank the others. Well, he's obviously pretty high, and he is dispatched, this prince of Persia, over Persia. There's one over Greece, as we read on later. And then Michael is the angel who is over Israel. So God has dispatched an angel to watch over his people and to watch over the territory of Israel. Let me read what John Piper says. This chapter is the clearest reference in all the Bible to what people today are calling territorial spirits. I want you to be aware of what is happening today in this realm of spiritual warfare, and I want us to think biblically about it. I don't want us to have our head in the sand as God awakens the church to spiritual realities long overlooked. And I don't want us to be naive in believing everything we hear, nor lopsided in letting secondary biblical truths become a primary preoccupation. What he's saying and other writers have said, which has been true since God revealed it to us in Scripture, is that certain angels are designated to be over certain territories or countries or areas. And when the rebellion in heaven happened, Satan dispatched certain high-ranking angels to be over those territories. There is an evil angel and people, this is serious, over the United States of America. He is. I don't know his name because God hasn't given us his name, but I can tell you very much in operation. And in fact, the scriptures seem to indicate where there are earthly leaders of power, that's where they target, because they want to have the greatest influence possible over the countries they want to control. And if that country gravitates towards Jesus and takes a stand for Jesus, those countries are blessed. And those countries have the blessings of God, and he infuses into them what we would call earthly blessings, because those people. Now, certain countries have rejected the biblical truth, and God has, in a sense, withheld what we would call blessing, and the devil takes over. And in certain areas of the world where the people have not acknowledged Jesus, you wonder why they are in a terrible straits in Iran, in Iraq, and in Syria. Because they've rejected the God of the Bible. They've rejected his love. They want to worship what they want to worship. And God says, okay, if you want misery, you're going to get misery. Now, we're not saying certain individuals in those countries can't come to know Jesus as Savior, as they obviously do. But what we're saying is the devil wants to control the country, because if he controls the country, he figures he can get more people that way to follow him. And if Jesus controls the country, if Jesus controls the White House, if Jesus controls the Senate and the senators, we get more people knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. And that's what Piper and others are trying to tell us, that, hey, our country is at risk spiritually also. And the way to overcome it, which we've kind of overlooked, is through prayer. Daniel said, hey, I need a little extra help. And guess what? I think the delay was foreordained. I mean, if God wanted him there instantaneously, he would have sent the backup right away. So the delay wasn't, in a sense, because the angel was intentionally weak. It was that God designed it to teach Daniel and us that we need to persevere in prayer. We need to be more persistent in prayer. We need to be fervent in prayer. And when God sees a people that are really fervent, who are really serious, then he'll step up to the plate, as it were, and hit a home run. But when he sees that, hey, we don't want to pray that much, maybe say, Lord, bless us, and then want to run off to the game. He says, oh, you're not really all that serious. And as long as we prayed as a people, God was blessing us. And when we stopped praying as a people, God didn't bless us as much. And all you have to do is look around our country, and if you think we are being blessed, then I want to go to Israel, because there is a lot in this country that overwhelms me. Even in the church, when you see people drifting away from clear biblical teachings for convenience, for what they might call prosperity or numbers, and are willing to sacrifice biblical truth. When you see people saying, well, if they want to be homosexual, hey, let's invite them in and be welcoming and affirming. Now, yeah, God loves homosexuals. He just wants them to repent of their sin. You know, he didn't make them that way. Every single one chose to be that way for whatever reason. And some Christians don't want to hear that. So I'm just saying, hey, you might want to change it in your local church, but God didn't change it in his book and in his plan. And for other things too, where we think we've lost common sense. And God is saying, what happened to you guys? And I'm thinking, we didn't pray enough. When it first started coming in, we said, oh, let them do their thing, because I want to do my thing. You know, when George Washington was president, they said he actually had Sunday school and church services in the White House. I wonder what would happen today if we actually saw that happening. So God sent or allowed or permitted this delay in order to teach Daniel to be persistent and to persevere. And I think sometimes he's telling us, maybe we didn't get the lesson either, and he's still trying to teach us, we need to pray more. We need to be persistent more. We need to say, Lord, I'm willing to fast. You know, and I've heard some people, and I know for diabetic and health reasons, you know, you can't do that. But some of us are really healthy, you know, and we could fast, but we don't because, well, who wants to go to the effort? And other issues. You know, it's amazing when a loved one is in hospital and very seriously ill, then all of a sudden we have more time to pray and to intercede. You know, don't wait for God to send a serious crisis into your life to start being persistent in prayer. The lesson is we need to be persistent in prayer. If it needs prayer, we need to pray until God says yes or no and makes it perfectly clear. And so we learn that from Daniel. And so when he persisted there for 21 days, then God, you know, gave him strength and he gave him understanding. And so we see this and we have to understand this. We a lot of times can't be that naive to think, hey, there is a spiritual war going on. And sometimes we have, in a sense, forgotten it. And you'll notice, actually, you can see that in the New Testament also. They want to come in and indwell people. You know, the devil still, you know, demon possession is very ripe and alive in certain areas of the world. We just are not tuned into it here in our country. In fact, having worked in, you know, I don't want to go out on a limb here. There's a lot of people in mental institutions today and have mental problems who actually, and we want to give them drugs to put them into some kind of sleep. And I'm not saying drugs can't help certain kind of mental illnesses, but I'm saying there's a lot of people who are in mental institutions who are demon-possessed. And if you don't acknowledge the diagnosis, you're not going to cure the problem. And then you're going to have more people in mental institutions. And you want to know why that's happening, and we've kind of lost sense of it. There are people who just need demons cast out of them. If it was very real in Jesus' day and the war is still going on, it hasn't changed, you know, and it's still very much with us, and we need to know that. So I would tell you here this morning, how persistent in prayer are you? Does it have to take a hospitalization or a serious issue to get you back to your knees praying? So we need to be persistent in prayer. And we, as we do that, we also need to remember these illustrations from the Scripture that God has given to us and realize that there is a spiritual war going on. And at times maybe we need to, like Isaiah and others, repent in sackcloth and ashes because we're just as guilty because we've overlooked and we've taken God's love for granted and we haven't done anything that He said that we should be doing. So here's the lessons for this morning. Prophecy is interesting. In fact, I love to study prophecy. I do. I mean, I love other parts of Scripture. I've preached through the Bible, Genesis and Exodus. But prophecy is interesting in that I think, from my perspective, we're getting closer to the return of the Lord. If you put it all together, and it could take years, but if you put it all together, if you see what's happening not only in the United States, but around the world, and as God has given us some stepping stones, He's given us some insights as to how it was going to be before He returned, I look around and I think, boy, you know, I'm seeing these things come together. You know, they're starting to develop. And God is telling us, that points us to Jesus, and prophecy, Jesus is the focus of it, to get people to know who he is and to get them saved. It tells us then we need to be preaching Jesus and getting people saved and lifting him up and telling them the truth, not deviating from Scripture. We also need then to persevere in prayer as Daniel did. And so I ask you, are you persevering in prayer as Daniel persevered in prayer? Let's just stand now and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we readily confess that sometimes we get our eyes off of Jesus and we become wrapped up in what we have to do. Lord, help us to self-examine and see where we're at and see if we are in the right relationship with you, that we are accomplishing what you have empowered us to do, whether it only be men and women of prayer, because sometimes as we say, we can't physically go, but we can pray. Help us to be men and women of prayer. In your name we pray. Amen.